welcome to Sundays with the Bionic Bishop. I'm Bishop Jan Biederstad of the Worldwide Anglican Church. And I'm going to bring you stories from the mission field where I've been a missionary over in Africa and Asia for 22 years, along with some Christian news and the feature, Ask the Bishop. Any questions you got about theology, send them in to WKJC at WKJC.com. And now let's get into today's program.
And by Living Waters Apostolic Ministries, with worship services at 11 a.m. on Sundays at 725 Newman Street in East Tawas, where the inerrant Word of God is taught to one and all. The one God, the one Father, one faith, and one baptism is open to all. And now, here's This Sunday Morning with Bishop Biederstad.
Well, good morning and welcome to Sundays with Bionic Bishop. This is Bishop Jan Biederstad.
This is Paula Kelsey.
And Marvin Lee.
And I'm coming to you today from Bamala, Uganda, which is located just outside the capital city of Kampala, here on Palm Sunday, April the 2nd. We begin Holy Week today.
Well, Marvin, you've got the hymn today.
Yes, this is one that I used to sing when I was attending Church of Christ, and it was common to be sung a cappella in the church, and it's called When We All Get to Heaven.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place.
When we all
get to heaven,
what a day
of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh.
When we all
get to heaven,
what a day
of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay.
When we all
get to heaven,
what a day
of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
It's an upbeat hymn. I've always enjoyed listening to that. Even though I was a Methodist pastor for years, and this was not one of our hymns in the hymn book, I can't say that the Methodists didn't believe in getting to heaven, because we certainly did, but it was just not one of those, probably a little more Baptist-oriented, I guess.
I suppose that today is considered ecumenical, but back when it was written, it probably did originate out of the southern churches. It sounds like something that would have.
I don't know.
I have to look it up. But
yeah, I just have this, I love different kinds of music, probably because I've been around the world and hearing different styles of worship. And it doesn't matter to me if it's Baptist, Catholic, Lutheran, Methodist, whatever. If it praises God and it's scripturally sound, hey, I love it.
Not to mention it is a catchy little tune.
It is. And it's just, you get caught up in that whole thing.
Yes.
Well, I've been here about a week now. I arrived about the 26th, left Kathmandu on Saturday morning at about 2:20 a.m., and it arrived about 2 p.m. here in Tebe, which is the airport for all of Uganda. The airport's a beautiful location right there on Lake Victoria.
And so on the very north shore, then we got out of the expressway. There's now an expressway, four-lane highway, all the way from Entebbe to Kampala, which takes about 45 minutes. In the old days, probably about two and a half hours through, you know, going through local traffic. So I've been settling in. I'm staying with the patriarch. We interviewed him last year when he was in Tawas. And so we've been with him as Most Reverend Christopher Longatusabira. Before I left, I was talking with one of my friends, Gopal Shrestha from Truckee Martin. We were discussing about the Ukrainian war situation. It's been over a year. And in Nepal, they're getting a lot of influx of Russian tourists. And the reason they're getting so many Russian tourists these days is one of the few places the Russians can go. They're not really welcome in many locations, thanks to the war. Much of the West has either made it difficult to travel there, and the West is basically being looked upon as the enemy. And I said, I wanted to interview, because he had a group coming in, and they were doing some professional work, and I wanted to spend some time getting to hear their side of the story. You know, we hear what we hear the news here, but I wanted to hear what were the Russians being told. And I thought it would make a really good article. Well, it never happened. My friend was complaining about how difficult they were to work with. They were not exactly what you call the friendliest of people. He said, very demanding, always complaining about something, always demanding changes, even though it would be more expensive, but he wanted him to pay for it. And he asked him, he tried to get him to talk about the war. And all they would say was, we hate Ukrainians. We hate Ukraine. Ukraine bad. And then drop it. There was no more conversation. It was just Ukraine bad. They deserve us getting what happens to them. And they're just bad people. He's also been talking, my friend Gopal, about to some of his Ukrainians he knows. Because there's been a lot of Ukrainians who've come to do trekking, do mountain climbing in Nepal. And one lady in particular, he asked, how long do you think this war is going to last? And she said 10 years. And I got thinking, that was the same length of time the Afghan war took for the Russians. They went in there, 1979. By 1989, they had to pull out. They couldn't take it anymore. They could not beat back by the Afghan fighters there. And, of course, they were fighting the Taliban as well. And then, of course, there was a brief period. Then we got involved, and we were there about 20 years. It's not a very difficult place. But the Ukrainians are proving to be just as difficult. And from what I can pick up through my extra sources, and I hear things because of the travels I do, about the Ukrainians are really putting up a major resistance. And even that whatever gains that the Russians make, they lose quickly because the Ukrainians are going to fight back. As I read one place about the difference between the Nazis and the Russians when they went into Ukraine, they said the Nazis were better. They took only what they needed. The Russians come and they take everything. They leave everything in ruins. And the people of Ukraine, you figure that they have suffered under the Russians for nearly 1,000 years. We know that Christianity first came to Kiev, and in about the year 970 AD, and that's approximately the 900s, might be 930 as early. I'm trying to go from memory right now. And from there, it did spread eastward. And so there's a lot of connection between the two. There's a similarity of languages. They are all Slavic people, but the Ukrainians have not appreciated what the Russians have done over the years. Certainly when Khrushchev decided to create the Ukrainian SSR, which was their own Soviet state within the Soviet Union, because if you remember, USSR stands for the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. And they created about 15 different republics. And back about the 80s, I saw a book that talked about how Russia was not one country, but many different countries that were very unhappy being part of the Russian Empire. They were conquered, many of the areas of the East. During the time of the colonial land grabbing, when most of the countries are worried about Africa, South America, or Asia, Far Asia, the Russians were moving, taking land, Uzbekistan, Turkestan, all the different stands along the way, and incorporating those regions into what it became then the became Russia under their czars and then the Soviet Union. And Khrushchev tried to give them a little more opportunity to maybe have a little more freedom. And that was something that Putin objects to, because he felt that was a major mistake, giving them, because that was, to him, that was Russia. And so with the Russians, they saw this as simply their territory. They had, of course, on the Black Sea. The major port was there. They were dealing with all kinds of issues. I said, this is part of their world, but it wasn't. Because they spoke a different language. Yes, it's similar in Ukraine to the Russians, as similar to Czech and Polish and all of those of the Slavic people. But this was the breadbasket. This was the land that fed the Soviet Union. And during the 1930s, those people were starved to death while Stalin took food from them to feed the Russians, to keep them going. And they never forgot. I mean, that's part of their culture. They don't forget. And so here we are dealing with a world that is not going to put up with becoming Russian again. We talked about the corruption of the Ukraine, and the Ukraine was indeed the most corrupt country of Europe. But maybe this was the wake-up call for them. This is what they need to pull together, make a stand. Either they become a nation, or they simply die trying. Yeah, 10 years, basically a war of attrition. And they can hold out a long time because they have the will to fight. Well, this is Bishop Jan Biederstadt, and right now, please stay tuned for some very important announcements.
Did you know that the world's best coffee comes from Nepal? It is the smoothest, richest coffee grown in the Himalayas, shade-grown, rich in flavor, and extremely low in acid. Those of us with acid reflux can drink this all day, not a problem. Absolutely the most delicious coffee. It's available if you go to RenaissanceOutreachMinistries.com, but it's wonderful coffee and the best you'll ever drink. Remember, Nepal coffee is the best.
Welcome to part two of Sunday Mornings with Bishop Biederstadt, and we're over here in Dadang Besi, Nepal. Now, Dadang Besi is a pretty little community. It's a district city located west of Kathmandu, and Dadang is the home of the Ganeshimal Mountains. You've heard me talk about Ruby in the program. Well, she's from Ruby Valley, and she got her name from the rubies of the mountains. And there are still some small ruby mines up there, and they mine a lot of quartz. And I'm hoping to bring some back with me when I come back to the U.S. in May. But today I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. His name is Silas Tamang. And actually, if I really go by, it's Sri Silas Bahadur Tamang. Everybody here is known as Bahadur, all the men. It means the brave one. But you'll see that everywhere, that B. And it's just somebody, a distinction from the Tamang, Gurung, mostly the mountain caste people. Well, I've known him probably about 12, 13 years. And I remember the first times I met him, I was up in his home village of Laprak, way up in the high mountains. And I'd come across the pass from across the Budigandaki, and I had a local guy who was acting as guide, and he did not boil the water long enough. And I got the worst case of diarrhea that lasted over 2 weeks. And I was, by the time I got done here, I was pretty much carried part way by some of his friends. But he walked 2 days from Dadang Besi, because there was no roads to Laprak in those days. And he walked up there to bring me medicine. And he's just an amazing individual. He has HIMS Nepal, which is a non-government organization that has been very, very effective in working to help the people. His father was the first Christian in Dadang, and now this is the most Christian area of the entire country. And so I'd like to introduce you now to my good friend, Silas Tamang.
Hello. Good morning. Jai Messi and Namaste. This is Silas Tamo. My original name is actually Sher Bahadur Tamo. But after when I become a Christian, it was Captain Silas Tamo.
Okay.
It was glad to meet you again. So I'm from Ruby Valley, actually, from Dading, Ruby Valley, from Lapa. But after the many years, some years, I've been to from Lapa to, I changed my place to town side. It's called Dading Besi. That time there was no many Christian in Besi because there is many other peoples. In Lapa, my father started ministry, but there is many Christian already. So we ship the place to Lapa to Dading Besi and we start one church. It's called Victory Church. I am this time I am elder of my church. We started 16, 17, 18 years ago in this Dading Besi. We have now mostly 10 or 12 branches churches we working. From the church, we started one of the faith-based organizations. It's called Himalaya Community Salvation Society. Shortly, we used to call HIMS Nepal. And HIMS Nepal is for the Christian leaders and many people's like for financial reasons. We do the holistic missions.
What do you mean by, tell us about the concept of holistic missions.
Actually, holistic mission is, it's like, for example, people had their mind, people had their soul, and people had their spirit. Mm-hmm. And in this area, when we know the Christ, we grow in Christianity, we know only the very deep spiritually way, mm-hmm. very deep spiritual. But sometimes socially or mentally or, you know, the physically, it's not maintained. So there is no level. So we want to maintain all the levels mentally, physically, and socially. We want to make a mental. For example, financially, people are very weak. Some people are spiritually very high, financially very low, spiritually very, you know, the something, not level. So we want to make level of that. So from HIMS Nepal had managed all the churches coming in unity, come together. And we for that we need to have programs like forgiveness and reconciliation program, financial management program.
So you're talking about financial management.
Also, yeah.
And what was the other one?
Forgiveness and reconciliation program between the churches, between the peoples.
Oh, forgiving one another.
Forgiving one another.
Okay.
There's forgiveness and reconciliation program we do. Through that, after 18 years now, we have come together, 280 churches come together for as a one Christian society that was registered in the government. And we all the day, most of the time, monthly, yearly, we coming gathering together. Every Sunday, Easter Sunday, every Christmas time, every 6 months, every year, we get together. Mm. And so we have a meeting together. We have work together. So we all working for the Christ body. So HIMS is doing very well. After the earthquake, we had done a lot of relief programs, livelihood programs, school construction programs, and we have good governance program. You know, through this good governance program, I've been to U.S. once again from embassy. Mm-hmm. Embassy took me through the HIMS Nepal to the U.S. visit six states of the U.S. So this time I am envisioning for how to grow in spirit, how to maintain the physical and the spiritually. So this time I'm trying to plan more against. In coming future, we are planning for how we can encourage the leaders, how we encourage the youth to be coming together for build the Christ of body. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to learn more. We're trying to form the team of the youth, team of the Christian leaders, and future how we could go together. We're trying to teach them about life skill training, the training of leaders, what we can learn, what we could do in future for, you know, the next generation.
So you say about life skill, you teach farming, you teach business. Is that correct?
Yes. Because coming days, for example, these days are very going to be problem with youth are not engaging with missionaries because in Nepal, you know, the Nepal condition, Nepal's, there is a financially, everything is going to be a problem. You know, after the COVID and after the earthquake, it's going to be a problem. But we're trying to teach people ministry is not only praying. Ministry is not only the you're going to church and carrying the Bible. That is not ministry. And we learn, before we learn about, as if you are a good Christian, if you are a Christian, you cannot do anything. You cannot be the government holder project, government holder staff. You cannot be army. You cannot be this and that. But this time, we can be everything.
Right.
Where you understand your that is your ministry.
Okay. We're going to take a break here for some important announcements. We'll be back right after the break.
When we think about spices, we think about the Spice Islands of Indonesia. But do you realize that India and Bangladesh and Nepal are some of the biggest spice producers in the world? And for Renaissance Outreach Ministries, we have from Nepal, from the Himalayas, all kinds of spices, from the most potent cinnamons and nutmegs to the masalas, the garlic that is beyond imagination of how aromatic and strong it is. We use just a little bit. We have it available at Renaissance Outreach Ministries. And in this area, you can also buy it at Klino's Market in East Tawas. And so check it out. You'll not find spice better anywhere else. Go to our website, www.renaissanceoutreachministries.com.
Okay, we're back for Sunday mornings with the Bishop. And we're talking with Silas Tamang, who is not a pastor, but he has organized Hymns Nepal and has created opportunities for the people of his area. He works Dating District. He's from way up in the high mountains. And I want to ask him, because his father was the first Christian. You were a convert from what, Buddhism or Hinduism?
Buddhist.
They were Buddhist. The Tamangs are an ethnic group in this area. It's mostly Tamangs with some Gurungs. The Tamangs were known as the horse people. That's kind of what their name means. The Tamangs were noted for, they had good backs. I remember seeing a picture when the days when the Ranas ruled this country, the Ranas were the hereditary prime ministership for 103 years. There was no roads across the mountains. And I remember seeing a picture of several Tamangs carrying a car over the mountains so the Ranas could drive a car around Kathmandu. So I said they got strong backs, and they've discovered recently they got strong minds too. And this is one of the stronger ones I've met here is with Silas Tamang. But I want you to tell me, how did your father, being from that year from Lapa, become a convert to Christianity?
My father, he do the work of potter carry. He go around and go for labor work and carry the pot, the things carry, and he get money from people.
Okay, so when you're being a porter, you're carrying everything on your back strapped to your forehead.
Yes.
And how many kilo could he put on his back?
100 kilos.
100 kilo.
Kilos, yeah. And on that time, somebody gave him some paper about Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ can heal. So Jesus Christ is the healer. He can heal. He can take to heaven, whatever things people share to him. And my grandmother was sick that time. And my grandmother, when he come and he takes someone and pray for grandmother, she's healed. After that, we are the first Christian of Lapa. After that,
she
got healed.
Went by the prayer.
The prayer. So after that, many peoples, we have a lot of big persecution to many peoples. But those who persecuted us, they are become Christian slowly. One day other house, other day other house, slowly, slowly, all going to be. Now this day, we had 13 churches in Lapa now.
13 in Lapa?
13 churches in Lapa.
Oh, that's...
So whole Ruby Valley, we have 29 churches now.
Wow.
So...
You got to understand when he talks about Ruby Valley, this is high mountain country. We're talking about over 8,000 feet, but we're talking pretty high country, very difficult terrain to walk, lot of river valleys. Just, it's a beautiful country. Eventually you get up to Pangsung Pass, which is about 12,500 feet. And that's kind of the border toward the top with Gorkha District with the
Rushua.
Yeah, Rushua. But anyway, so he continued, he started a church in Lapa.
Yes.
So he started a church in Lapa, And then when you came down after the earth, when did you come down here to start church?
So when we come, when we come down here, there is not much churches, not much Christian here. But we 4 or 5 person, we come together for church ministry. This time we have more than 1,300 people we have in our church all together.
Wow. So how long ago did your father become Christian?
It's 34 years ago, I think.
And from 34 years, from being the first Christian,
yes,
to now thousands.
Now in this year.
Now many more than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just the exponential growth is amazing.
Amazing.
And your father's still alive?
Still, he's pastoring here. After the earthquake, he left the village and he is here now.
Okay.
Pastoring here.
Our ministry, Renaissance Outreach, we helped out the people from his village. They moved down here after the earthquake because their village that you were staying in was destroyed, wasn't it?
Yes, shaken down. All landslide.
Yeah, it was landslide wiped out much of the village. And I remember going there bringing blankets. And that was given that we had raised money through Renaissance. And we were coming up over a hill and looking down. And it was all these shacks that they had built. But in the center of it, they had built, it looked like the tabernacle. That was their church, their school, their community meeting place. And that was one of the first things they erected was putting up a church in the midst of this Christian community. And I never got over how amazing that site was. So what are some of your plans for the future here? How are you going to be helping the people?
I did a lot of construction work. Construction work doesn't make people better. They always depends others. So I'm trying to give people as a leadership with so many things. For the youth, for the leaders, we need to give them, like, for example, if you need a fish, you doesn't need to give directly fish, but we can give them, like, how we can fish, the material we can take, you know. Yeah. We can provide the material, and they can fish always. Mm-hmm. For example, livelihood programs, it's like many other vocational trainings. And so this time I'm planning for, actually, youth are much, 10,000 of our youth are here.
Yeah, so 10,000 youth right in the churches.
Trying to give them very, what is the real ministry? And financially in future we could manage, you know. They could understand, oh, financially, when we have ministry, we don't expect the financial. Because when we have Christ, we can support the financials.
Right.
So I'm trying to maintain youth to be understand this.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they go to Australia, they go to America, whatever, they go to any other country. If they are the good minister, if they have a good heart in God, they could support for the ministry.
That's right.
So I'm trying to give that kind of encouragement with the youth peoples. And leadership training, actually. They hadn't needed leadership training.
Yeah.
Our first father, they don't have little more knowledge. We're trying to give them more knowledge about. And we have a generation gap. Generation means first pastor, firstly Christian, and now these Christian are not connected together. We want to make a bridge for them and connect it together.
Okay.
And to fulfill his kingdom.
This is good. Well, this is probably bringing us to the end of our program today. Well, this is Bishop Jan Biederstedt and
Silas Stammer.
Reminding you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Christ. And this is, again, from Doubting Bessie, Nepal, located in this beautiful valley here. And so we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Well, thank you for joining me this morning. I hope you've enjoyed the time that we've spent together as we've learned about Christianity around the world and the mission field, some Christian news, some interesting people, as well as some stories. And don't forget, we'll be back on next week at 7:30. Tell your friends and come and join us. This is Bishop Jan Biederstedt from Turner, Michigan, wishing you a blessed week.